feeling quite fresh compared to what I should be feeling like, having spent the night with Richard Macney and his beer drinking posse. Richard, where did we go? What did we do?
Well, it wasn't really the night, but yeah, we got together yesterday. We had some lunch in a local pub in Belper, and we had a pint there, didn't we? And then we went to the Derby Camera Winter Beer Festival, which was at the Roundhouse in Derby. And yeah, it was about, what, 200 beers on or something like that? Or it looked like that. Anyway, the beers, all the barrels went all the way around the outside of the Roundhouse. And we tried to sample as many of them as possible from 2 p.m. onwards.
And having a beer for lunch didn't really set me off on the right foot, and I should have saved myself, because I feel like I only got through about 100 of those beers. But in reality, I think we calculated it was about 8 or 9, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it does help when you go to these sort of places that they provide you with special half pint glasses, but they've got third marks on as well. So if you want, you can just buy a third of a pint, and generally works out about 90p or a pound, depending on the beer, because obviously some of them are a little bit more percentage, there's more tax on the beer, so they have to put the price up and stuff like that. So it's nice to be able to have thirds and, you know, not think that you've got to go in and have pints, because that's probably a common misconception.
You can tell the newbies, though. There are newbies wandering in, I'll have one of those pint glasses, fill it up, and they only have two, and you think, well, you're not really getting to taste stuff.
No, they do, you know. I mean, most people walk in and go, oh, the glasses are the same price, because you can either rent them or you can buy them as souvenirs, because, you know, they're branded up with the event on. So, but some people do go straight for the pint glasses, because that's what they're used to, and you sort of, they realise after a couple that you can actually have a third, and they've got this little bit in the bottom of their pint glass. But, you know, sometimes that's because all the glasses are run out. And I think we got, when we came in, it was a Saturday. It started on a Thursday. We went on the Saturday. So it's still on today. I think we had the last, I think there was 5 branded glasses left. So we had them. And they're £2.50, I think, for a glass. But
bargain.
Yeah, it's got
a lot of artwork on it, and
it's one of those things where if you go to the beer festivals a lot, and obviously if you go around the country, and each camera place does their own beer festival, so you could go to millions of them, you end up with a whole cupboard full of them. So not everybody wants to buy them. So
just get your favourite one and take it along. I do like the third marking, though, because half a pint doesn't sound like much, but when you're drinking to experience different beers, it is actually quite a lot. So a third, I think, is absolutely perfect. You get a good taste for it, you get a feel for it, and then when you finish, you're ready to try the next thing. It was very, very un-geeky. I've been to some beer festivals, and it's just bristling with scorecards and marking and notes. Yeah. And I'm sure there were notes being taken, but it seemed to be a lot more covert than your normal. Unless there were more, in inverted commas, normal people in there and not just beer geeks. It seemed to be a bit more of a cross-section of the population, maybe.
Yeah, I think also it's the day that you go on. I mean, I think on the Thursday it was quite busy. Friday was definitely busy, from what I've heard. And I think a lot of people go down there, take the day off work, and make it quite a special event. And you know, the tickers, as they call them, perhaps were there then, ticking off the beers.
That makes sense, because a lot of the beers had run out.
That's right, you know, and if anybody's going today, I mean, I don't even know if they'll even open today, because by the time we left yesterday, and we left, there was still a massive queue for people to get in. And when we left, I was saying to myself, well, I wouldn't want to be going in now, because so many of them had gone.
Yeah.
You know, you almost had to hunt around to try and find stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it makes sense. So it's, I guess it's unusual in a way for us to be socialising in real life, because we spend so much time online, in life. And but we've kind of been working together recently, haven't we? Work. I mean, don't confuse the term work with somebody paying somebody for a service, because it's more, I ask for stuff, and you've very kindly been building as we experiment with platforms.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we on Twitter, obviously, we go back to, well, for me, I joined in 2008. So it's one of those things where we built up a relationship, seen what, you know, I've always seen what you've sort of been doing. And you've always asked the question online. You've always said to people, how can I do this? How can I do that? You know, just to get the feedback off of people. And, you know, there's a certain area in which I work in, which is, enables people to do certain things. You know, for the clients that the company that my company called Fish Media, we enable people to sell things online, you know, that sort of thing. We provide services to people, so we've got certain things that can just say to you, oh well, have you tried this, and been able to just put some stuff together for you. It's not particularly clever, massively clever in terms of like really high-end programming, but it's just stuff which, you know, I've had the time to be able to put some scripts together, scripts that are widely available, you know, things like that Flickr offers as badges, being able to customize those sort of things and provide you with sort of hub, really, sort of a page where you can just visit and see a lot of things going on, but not massively technical in the programming side.
Yeah. Oh, you're playing it down more than I think so, because at the moment, mashing up and creating these mashups and these amalgamations of existing tech and code is a real art form now, I think. What with the web becoming inundated, I won't say saturated as yet, it's difficult to saturate the web, it's a big place, but inundated with different platforms that do different things. Sometimes I have my head so far stuck inside the web, I can't see the wood for the trees. I can't see that there may be, you know, a mashup of a couple of platforms that are exactly going to come up with the story creating solution that I'm particularly looking for. Take for example, going away in the Guardian Hack Weekend, we were attempting to create an app we still believe is not necessarily being created, and that's the ability to make audio slideshows within the iPhone and cross-post a really nice embeddable player to certain platforms, a self-contained unit as such. Yet you very quickly reminded me that if I wanted to concentrate on the still image, that I can use an audio recorder to record an MP3, cut and paste that MP3 alongside a photograph that has the geotag data enabled, and when sending that to a platform like Posterous, you have the photograph, the audio file, and the map. Not the prettiest layout, as they kind of sit one below the other, but it does a job. Mm-hmm. And it has all the content there, and should you add text in that email post as well, you've got a seriously rich media posting from a mobile device. And I think it helps to have that different perspective sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I think sometimes we're always seeking to do something better. We're always trying to go further. We're always trying to push the envelope. You know, we're always looking for new things. But then sometimes we need to just step back. I mean, one of the things that I use quite a lot is FriendFeed, and FriendFeed's been around for a long, long time. You know, it's the hub where you can pull all your feeds into one place and display them. But they do offer widgets and stuff, and I found that you can customize their widgets that they offer. So, you know, using them as a hub, they're pulling in all the data, and then you're redesigning, re-pushing it out into a format that you want. So sometimes I think you do need to just look back, and rather than try and reinvent stuff, see what's already there and forget that we're skipping over it because we're almost too keen to move on to the next big thing. I mean, you know, some of the problems that you've sort of had is that you do a lot of audio stuff, you do a lot of audio booze, but, you know, as a photographer, you want some really good high quality images on there. And at the moment, Audio Boo isn't doing that for you. But if you look at the Audio Boo as a hub, as a page, it's quite a nice place to go to view, to listen to audio boos. There is a picture there and there's a map there. Now, all they need to do, obviously, is, you know, if they feel there's a big enough market for it, to customize that page to be, allow you to maybe customize those, you know, as some sites allow you to customize your own profile. So if they did that, maybe there's a massive market there for, you know, for Audio Boo to be the hub then. Would you then need a Posterous, you know?
No, not at all, because if Audio Boo did enable me to have a high resolution image, it's got the map data. And the big thing that I do think is missing as well, the adding of the text add some information alongside the audio boo, whether it be a small blog post or something that also appears on the website, because that would also appear in the XML file should that be a podcast. Like I view people's podcasts. As I look at my phone, I see the photograph, similar to in audio boo, but there's a massive amount of text that I can see over the top of that, which is kind of the metadata text to go alongside to explain the podcast. But if it could be per individual audio boo, that would be great as well. Yeah, I guess audio boo is still classed as a startup by some, and there's still places for it to go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of these, you know, like Posturus as well, it's they can't listen to everybody. I mean, they probably try to, but everybody's got so many ideas, and, you know, and I'm sure people are feeding back lots of different things, and they've got to prioritize and decide which way they want to go as a company. Do they want to become a blogging platform? Do they want to just concentrate on being an audio platform? Do they not want to bother with images at all? I'm sure there's lots of people that don't even want to add an image to their audio boo. They just want to do an audio and that's it, you know.
No. But there's no reason why you can't integrate Flickr to that, so that when you the photograph that you send is actually being hosted on Flickr and pulling through to audio boo. One thing I like about the way you work as well is if I want a solution, I get I say something to you, and then it kind of happens without me even knowing. You'll go, oh, did you see the thing I made? No, oh, where, and then you'll link me to it. Like I'm going to South by Southwest. Thanks to King of Shaves, who's sponsoring me, and I thought, well, one nice way to maybe utilise this business model of marketing by association, so that I feel like I'm giving King of Shaves value for them enabling me to get to South by Southwest, is to have my content from the various channels being displayed in a hub, as we've already kind of mentioned, on the King of Shaves website. So if you go to shave.com/SXSW for South by Southwest, it should forward you to a kind of hub page. And we were kind of given an iframe placement, weren't we? Is that right? And you've plugged stuff into that. What does that do? How much versatility and customization does that enable you?
Well, the first thing that we sort of came across was that I think embedding stuff on their page was going to be limited because we didn't have access to that. So we just sort of said, well, if you put some iframe code in there, then we'll be able to pull that from your own website, which is the christianpayne.com. So we're actually building something on there. But we've gone down the route of, again, just using customizing widgets that are already available, and they're all pretty much sort of JavaScripts and in HTML. So the source code of that is actually there. You know, anybody can view the page, the source code of that, and copy and paste and put that on their own server. And, you know, it pretty much should run. And if they change the values from, say, the audio boos that are being pulled in on the map using Google Maps, if they change the values of the sort of RSS feeds that they're pulling from, then they could even customize it for their own one. So it's stuff that's already out there. It's just, you know, as we've sort of said, pulling it in and putting it together, and just looking at, you know, it's nice when you can put it all together in one page, you know.
Definitely, and it's also nice for me to have the one easy to remember and shortish URL, shave.com/SXSW, for me to drop out there to then send people to that page. And just to kind of point out, I don't get any money from any clicks that exist on the ads. The ads were on that page, and if you look at shave.com, you'll see they pretty much have the same template for every page. And I thought, well, why not? You know, I never ever have advertisement on any of my own normal content. I'm not going to get anything should anybody click. But it does show exactly Will King's business, what Will King has to offer from King of Shaves, and it's not getting in the way of the normal way I work. I don't have to go shave now, buy and check out how clean shaven I am, which obviously would be a lie because I've got a beard, which again freaks me out. That Will should go, yeah, no worries, I'll sort you out, you know, South by Southwest access. So I like that, and I think that could be a potential business model for other people that want to go out and make media, but maybe have pay per click around there. I mean, you do pay per click integration in some of your stuff, don't you?
Yeah, on a personal level, I mean, I sort of blog more on a personal level. My Twitter account's more of a personal level. It always has, you know, it's always been like a personal thing rather than pushing my company. So on my own posturus, I might talk about iPhone photography or whatever else, stuff like that, and I'll just put in some Amazon links, or you know, some sort of, I mean, it's not pay-per-click, but it's relevant, and that's what I believe in, is if I'm going to put something there, make it relevant. And that's why I don't have, say, just Google ads on the side, which are just, you know, they do generate money, and it does actually generate people quite a lot of money. I've got some on a couple of YouTube videos, and I'm quite amazed at how much that sort of generates.
Really? Go on, give me an example.
Well, I mean, mine probably don't get visited that much, but I can see that, you know, every time, you know, every month that it's running for a bit, you know, it's generating, I don't know, it's like 4p or 5p a click or something like that. So you can imagine if...
Wow.
But people have got to click it within the advert, and I'm amazed that people do, because I don't.
I never do either.
You know, but then you get to see, then you get, I mean, I also approach from the other side, is through the company. My business partner's always been heavily involved in the online marketing side of things. He came from a company which he was in charge of something like £1 million advertising budget for online marketing. And you can see then where that £1 million's gone, because they're paying Google or whoever for, you know, the impressions and the views. And then on the other side of it, you've got the affiliates who are then displaying them, and they're getting paid. So that's where all the money, you know, the money, some's going to Google, some's going to the people who are displaying these ads. And you can sort of think, and then you sort of think, well, it's just this little circle of money going around, and, you know, how many people are actually utilising it and targeting. And, you know, one of the things I've sort of noticed a lot recently is how well I think Facebook ads are doing, because, you know, some of us sort of say, oh, you know, not Facebook, but the masses, you know, fish where the fish swim, there's masses of fishes on Facebook. And if you can target ads to them, you know, it's no secret that in my blog and on my Facebook and stuff, I talk about caravans, because, you know, that's what I do for the family holidays. And I'm getting targeted adverts about caravans popping up, and I'm actually clicking them, because I'm thinking, actually, that does interest me.
Yeah.
So if I get targeted correctly, then it's great.
Yeah.
But if I'd get an advert on the side that's nothing to do with anything that I'm interested in, like a credit card...
Just ignore it.
Then, yeah.
In fact, I quite regularly just click offensive on the ads.
Well, yeah.
Just to annoy them.
Well, to be honest with you, if you are using Facebook a lot, then you should take the time to...
Click the X
and say why. And, but you know, say, well, it's not interesting to me, because the more you do that, the more you're going to get targeted ads. And personally, for me, I'd rather have targeted ads than rubbish, so...
Yeah, although I kind of like having rubbish, because it means I'm not spending money on stuff I don't necessarily need anyway.
No.
Like new caravans.
Well, yeah, there is that. But then the other side of it is that I think I've seen a couple of ads which have taken me to something which I've not seen before, and I've sort of thought, oh, I'm actually glad I clicked that, because I've not seen that. And
an educational advertisement.
Well, it's, you know, I like to sort of keep up to date with things that are going on, with the things that interest me, be it beer, you know, be it caravan or caravan tech or tech in general. So if something...
I'm glad your profile on your Twitter account doesn't say beer and caravans, because people would have a completely...
It used to.
It did.
Yeah, you say something like, I'm into caravanning, beer and the iPhone or something like that, you know. So I think actually on my blog, the topics are all arranged by those sort of things. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I talk about. I mean, I think most of the people that follow me on Twitter know that.
You know. I think so. By now, definitely. But there's been some really interesting off-grid articles, if you're interested in running your tech from something like a caravan where you have a limited power supply. Which has got some really cool stuff. Give us the name of your hub page where people can find most of your online places.
Well, you know what? I would normally say... richard.macnick.com, which is my, you know, is my web address basically, but I'm quite liking about.me now as a profile page to hit on. I've actually changed my Twitter account, that'll be the first hit now, so it's about.me/RichardMacnick, and that then just becomes that little hub of information which you can click, and then you don't even have to go away from the site, because it will show posters, it will show Twitter, it will show YouTube, even shows Foursquare. logins and LinkedIn. So it all shows that on that one page. And if you then want to go further and click through and go whatever, then that's great. It's like that flavors.me,
yeah.
same sort of thing.
Yeah, I've got one of those as well.
So yeah.
And what about your business website?
That's fish-media.net. So yeah,
you always the last to plug your business.
No, but that's just not, that's just probably not the way that
you got too much work on, probably that's what it is.
Well, we're sort of lucky in that we get recommendations through the work that we do. We tend not to have to do loads and loads of advertising, and it all comes from word of mouth or recommendations from other clients. So yeah, we're in that lucky position where stuff does come to us, and if we do it well, which is what we pride ourselves in doing, then they recommend us. So that's it.
Fantastic. People deal with people once again. Thank you for letting me crash last night. Thanks for taking me out to the Derby Beer Festival. Thanks for a lovely breakfast. And thanks for not stopping me last night when we walked past the off-licence. Very, very late, it seemed. It probably wasn't that late. And I bought a £40 bottle of English whiskey. What was I thinking?
I don't know, but it's... I tell you, opportunity to plug this shop because it's called Liquid Treasure in Belper, and it's a great shop. I go there for my beer and stuff like that. So I was quite pleased that you went in there to support Julie, who's in there, because she's a little local drinks sort of supplier specialist.
Totally. And it only took me 2 minutes to actually talk with her after I'd made my purchase to realise I'd totally done the right thing. If I'm going to make a spontaneous buy, then this really, really exclusive bottle of one of the first editions from the only licensed whiskey distillery in England. I'm looking forward to reviewing that. But she had some incredible ryes and really, really rare bourbons. And I've definitely a place I'll come back in. I can't believe I didn't check into it on Gwala. Liquid Treasure. Right, thanks very much, Richard. Speak to you later.
All right, cheers.